Hi, I'm friend of the show, Nick Jaragrulski. You may remember me from episodes such as Big Tokens 1 and Big Tokens 2, Tristani's Revenge. Well, today's episode is nothing like either of those, but I'm sure it'll still be great. So sit back and get ready to be amazed as the fine cast at Commander and MTG get ready to blow your minds. And remember, keep on commandering. Damn it.
Aw, thanks, Nick. I'm Phil DeLuca.
I'm Nate Burgess.
And Sean can't be with us, but he's...
Oi, oi, fellas! Who ordered the large cockney with the side order of fish and chips?
Who is that? Who's that?
Do you hear something?
Well, Governor, it's only one and only Sean Watson, isn't it? Hello!
Oh.
Well... Welcome back, Sean.
Hey, guys. Long time no see. I hope you've not been playing any cards without me.
I think we're going to get into that. Oh. So
it's been a long time. Thank you, patient listeners.
It certainly has been a long time, and it's wonderful to say we are Commanderin.
Mandarin.
Music, we like the music. Yeah. Sean, do you remember the music?
Do I remember the music? I do remember the music. It's a sort of large orchestral piece, is that right?
Yeah, it is.
I've been listening to it. I was wondering if maybe I could sing an old Cockney song that could maybe go over the music. Like, my old man's a dustman, he wears a dustman's hat. He's got cool blimey trousers and he lives in the council flat. Oi! Something like that.
I think that's entirely possible. Don't you, Nate?
Yep.
Excellent. All right. Well, everyone else, remember to head over to join our Patreon community at patreon.com/commanderandmtg. By donating as little as a buck a show, you'll get to be part of events like determining which card should be on our...
Do you know, one of the things I've missed the most is Phil's attempts to finish a sentence.
Yeah. It's very difficult. Remember to head over to join our Patreon community at patreon.com/commanderandmtg by donating as little as a buck a show, and you'll be able to be part of events like determining which cards... should be on our most busted bracket. We're doing a bunch of other stuff too, so head on over. This week, you may have already guessed it, we have a wonderful show lined up for you. We're going to talk about Sean.
Hey.
And have a fun look back at the first year of Commander, and because happy anniversary, guys.
Oh, is it our first anniversary?
Hey.
It is. When this airs, which is only in 2 days, actually, it'll be the 26th of May, and that was our air date for our very first episode.
So, ironically, the first anniversary gift is traditionally a paper gift, isn't it? So, where's my gift?
Where's my gift?
Actually, ironically, Phil has given me gifts of paper before, so, yeah. I mean, we're not doing gifts this year,
are we? Cardboard paper.
Yeah, we're not doing gifts this year, are we, darling? You said we weren't going to do gifts. Why do you always do this? You always expect it. You say, oh, we won't do presents this year, but no. Yeah, it'll be nice just to be thought of once.
Well, we thought about you quite a bit, Sean.
Oh, I missed you guys.
Nate, did you miss Sean?
Yeah.
I missed getting punched in the face by Eldrazi and Rakdos Lord of the Riots too, Nate.
Mm-hmm. Shivam didn't miss that.
No, he did not. We're referring, of course, to a few moments at GPLA. We're just coming back from GPLA. Nate flew back yesterday, actually.
Yep.
And we met a lot of people, some of whom are in San Francisco. And hopefully you're going to be hooking up with those guys, aren't you?
Yeah, apparently they might live a few blocks away from me.
What? That's crazy.
That's mad. So they didn't notice the strange, twitching, demon-worshipping fella who's burnt by the sunlight scurrying around the bins at night and thought, hey, there's Nate.
I don't scurry around bins.
I just presume that's how you got most of your sustenance.
No, I drink the blood of my enemies.
And they are legion. So he's never hungry.
Mm-mm. Well, I'm always hungry, actually.
We'll get into some GPLA stories. But Sean, what have you been up to the last couple of months? Can you believe it?
So the last couple of months, what have I been doing, listeners? So in the last 10 weeks, I have, in no specific order, amicably split up with my wife, changed jobs. So same job, but different hospital. Got a new girlfriend, moved into a new flat, bought a car, had to decorate and equip the flat, and buy a computer. And also, the most importantly, in all that, find time to play some Commander. Yeah.
So you've been busy.
You could say that again.
A busy springtime.
Yeah. So a few people were vaguely worried that I was somehow dying, or maybe Phil had kicked me off the show and was going to change the name of the show to, ironically, The Three Commanders.
with of course, two of
yeah,
us.
Yeah, absolutely. or Nate had finally gone postal and killed me. But no, all of this is a lie. I am perfectly fine.
Actually, Sean, yes? The prevailing theory was that you were imprisoned in Nick Jaragrulski's basement.
Well, after I finally found the key he hid so cunningly in the house to the mouth zipper, I managed to call for help and a local sheriff came and saved me. Unfortunately, the sheriff was working with Jaragrulski, and we went through a Pulp Fiction-style dungeon time, which eventually I only escaped through the help of Bruce Willis. But that was just one weekend, you know. That happens to all of us all the time, if you know Nick.
He hid the key within the gastrointestinal tract of his last prisoner, so that was a little messy.
Yeah, and all the time he kept telling me he was going to use my life force to feed his new token. And it was just terrible. He said, "Dear God, I hope my child is as good at using blue and black magic as you, Sean."
I don't know if he said that part.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
It's true. It's true. He's secretly a Dimir player.
So this is a token. You have to sacrifice another creature, and it comes in as an XX token.
Yes. I hope Nick has done the six mana test now and allowed Jackson to pick one up off a table, see which one he eats, and that's going to be his heart color for the rest of his life. Sadly, Blake is a red mage when I conducted this experiment.
All right.
Yeah, well, at least there's still hope he could swing Grixis like you do. Actually, you're more Esper control.
I am. Basically, I'm black with anything that will go with it. But yeah, everything else is just stacked in my order of how good it fits with black. But you know.
Awesome.
I'm sure there's a Shaft theme song. Who's the black mage of all the cool cards? Sean! In there somewhere. I'll leave that one to you, Nate.
Mm-hmm. I'm just talking about Sean.
Shut your mouth. I'm just talking about Sean. Who's the guy who chewed her for a win condition? Sean.
Awesome. Well, we are, of course, was so happy you're back. I hope over the intervening months, oh, too long, our little homages to you were keeping you warm at night.
Yeah, it did well. I missed, because I didn't get to interact with any of our listeners or anything really either. I went very quiet on our social media outlets that we use. I missed you two guys. I really missed just hanging out with our deck testing group and our Patreon people. Well, I didn't even meet our Patreon people at first. I've met a lot of them now. Yeah. And Magic has got me for a really difficult time playing my paper meta, and I missed my digital community. It's wonderful to be back. and I don't intend to be going anywhere anytime soon, so you're stuck with me, I'm afraid.
Yay!
I did notice something genuinely, right? In returning to playing with our deck testing group, the old rule of kill Sean first had changed to kill Nate first.
No, it hasn't. No. It's still the
it
same.
It has.
Sean's back, so it's kill Sean first.
We played a six-player game the other day, unbelievably, and everyone just ignored me while I went off and did a Phyrexian Devourer Necrotic Ooze Jared combo, and everyone just ignored it, and I was like, hey, look, I win.
Yeah, you see that. People? You see what happens?
Nate saw what was going on. Nate pointed out to everyone. Everyone said, no, don't be silly, Nate. You're the real threat.
Oh, my God. He has been an absolute terror to these people, including one player, one of the new playtesters when he joined our group. And Nate, you should probably tell this story. I think it was James Ray, right?
Oh,
you
yeah.
basically kind of let him die. You killed him last, as it were, right? You killed everybody else and then...
I killed him last.
Yeah. Poor guy. That was his first introduction. And how did you do it?
I left him alive after the combat round where I swung in with zombies and killed everyone else. And I had a gutter snipe out and I killed him by casting an extra turn spell, which triggered the gutter snipe and killed him with that. So just in case he wasn't dead enough, I would have had an extra turn to kill him some more.
That was Nate's way of welcoming a new player to the playtesting group.
Bravo. I did my reputation as a seriously spiky magic player a lot of harm last night. We were playing a big game, and I was using my Lazav deck, and it got down to just me and Hunter from our Patreon group and our deck testing group. And I had him, he was using his Muzio deck. I had him totally milled out. So he had the five cards that were in his hand, no cards in his library, but he had Platinum Angel in play, so he couldn't lose the game. I was like, right, okay, I can win next turn. I got a Scatter from Existence in my hand to kill that Platinum Angel. And the absolute dropped a Winter Orb on the table when I was all tapped down. So I'm like, right. He's got enough damage to kill me in six turns, and I need seven turns to cast the Scour from Existence. And I was so enraged by the Winter Orb coming down, I forgot that I could play a land.
Yeah.
So I was untapping one land a turn, holding a hand of about 20 cards.
You forgot you could play a land?
I was so angry, going, stupid freaking one land a turn. And I forgot I could play land as well.
Well done.
Elite skills.
Yeah, yeah. So, and you wonder why they're ignoring you now.
It's all a ruse. It's all a ruse.
They're all like, let's give Sean a little time.
It's like the poker player who throws the early hand so that the table thinks he's not a good player.
Yeah, that's my defense, Nate. That's what I was doing. Yep.
Yeah. I'm just helping you out here.
Anyway, I can't help but feel we've dived into what we've been doing lately really early in the episode. But yeah, sorry.
Yep, a little bit early, but welcome back, Sean. Hi. That's what we're really trying to say. And before we get fully into it, I just want to explain a little bit about the format of the show. This show will be a little bit different from most of the rest of ours. It was inspired by Mason Talley, one of the $10 Patreon supporters, a couple of weeks ago now in our Patreon $10 supporter chat that we have going on Facebook. He suggested we get 60 to 90 second kind of testimonials from folks who've been on the show. So we thought about that a bit and we reduced it to 60 seconds and not only asked our guests over the past year to send us a little 1 minute sort of retrospective, we also asked our Patreon supporters and the fine folks in our deck testing group to contribute. So periodically, we'll stop and we'll introduce one of these segments, and actually later on in the show, we'll do this a lot. But for now, let's let Mason Talley introduce us.
Hello, Commanderin. Congrats on the 100th episode. This is Mason. Some of you may know me from the deck testing and Patreon chat. I've only recently started listening to Commandrin, but it has quickly become my favorite EDH podcast. Not only do Phil, Nate, and Sean, when he can be there, talk about my favorite version of Magic the Gathering, but they do it while having tons of fun and creating an entertaining product. The community that surrounds these content creators is one of the best that I've ever been a part of. Thanks a lot for being generally awesome individuals, and here's to 100 more episodes. Honestly, I can't choose any one specific EDH experience to tell you all about because every game is a new adventure in this awesome format, and they all hold a special place in my heart. Just remember, no matter what the deck you play and who you're playing with, if Phil's in that game, take him out.
See,
that's true.
See, no, it's not true at all. It's a very mistaken assumption.
So
this weekend I got lucky.
I suggest we kill Nate. Nate suggests we kill me, and Mason suggests we kill Phil.
Yep. Yep. He really hasn't. We haven't play tested a lot of decks together. He doesn't understand how actually crippled my decks are.
Well, he also doesn't understand the difference between a 1-year anniversary and a 100th episode anniversary.
Oh, I think he understands that. He wanted us, I think, to save it for another 52 episodes, but I thought it would be best if we played it now.
I'm only joshing Mason. It's an easy mistake to make. But when we get around to our 100th episode, which will be in, you know, roughly a year, I'd like you to do us a nice 1-year anniversary message.
Yes, Mason. So before we really get into this, we have some news. This news isn't news so much as it is just to kind of say, hey, Nate, I went to GPLA and it was a blast. I'm gonna run down a few points, and Nate, jump in if you have something to some more color to add, as it were. But so we played A.E. Marling's Sea Monsters deck, and that game won him one of our playmats, signed by both me and Nate. Hopefully he'll get your signature, Sean, but again, this is on the winner's burden to get your signature. He was cosplaying as Giralf when he played his Grimgrin deck, you know, and of course that was devastating, absolutely devastating. A.E. Marling did not lose a game when we saw him. So do not underestimate him when he shows up. He's dressed in costume. Do not buy that ruse. He is a ruthless genius who is unswayed by political discussion, shall we say. He cosplayed Urtai as well, not the corrupted, but the wizard adept. Perfect. And there are pictures of him. I have some pictures. We saw the command zone, Josh and Jimmy. It was always wonderful to hang out with them. They were playing down table. Nate, you were going to get a game in with Josh, but I don't think it ever worked out.
Yep. I had lunch with a professor and a bunch of people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. How did that go?
You were there.
Yeah, I was at the other end of the table. We were actually at exact opposite ends of the table.
Yeah, we talked about video editing software.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yay.
But it was probably useful.
Yeah. And the professor talked about living in different countries, which was pretty insightful.
Wow, that's cool. I know hanging out with those folks is a lot of fun, right? When I was, I tweeted a picture of a couple of fans going up to Josh, and it was just so, so heartwarming to see this, you know, this father and his son just walk up to Josh, and they were having a blast, and then they got to take a picture with Josh, and it was clear that the kid really liked him. That was fun. Speaking of kids, Proggy Boog, or Eric Landis, as humans know him, and his son Jack were there, and not only were they there, and Jack was playing in the main event, and actually Proggy was playing in the main event as well, but Jack got featured. He had a feature match. I don't know if Channel Fireball actually captured a bunch of video of it, but he was right there on stage, and his opponent was like, why are we in the featured match section? But of course Jack was there because he was the youngest participant present. And that was set up. Josh and a couple of other folks were pushing it, but especially Shivam, who is at Electrotal? That's it. Electrotal on Twitter. He went up to the Channel Fireball people and he said, hey, do you know you have this kid who's actually so close to making day two? He's the youngest player here, and he's one game away from making day two of a GP. So they put him on.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it was absolutely amazing. It was so cool. And then, of course, Jack was playing with us a little bit later, and we kept highlighting that aspect. Like, oh, Jack featured player. And when he signed, we have a commemorative playmat, which I'll take a photograph of now that it's final, and I'll send that out. So we have a commemorative playmat, and he signed it. We made him sign it as featured player, Jack Landis. It was really cool. Kevin and Brianna, we met them, and Kevin, I think, was a listener before he showed up, and Brianna was playing his Sen Triplets deck. Kevin had the Frog God, and Sean, oh my word, what a deck that is. I've tweeted the link to it a couple of times from the main account, and it's just, it's fantastic. It's so resilient.
I've yet to have the joy of playing against a Frog God deck, so I look forward to it. Someone's, anyone's, please.
Yeah, Sean, I intend to download this. It's very similar to one that I put together, but it works so much better than mine. This is, it's resilient. It's like punching a... It's like punching a rubber blob, almost as if there were a giant frog and you could punch its rubbery skin and then pull your hand out and the dent just sort of, and as it's as if nothing happened. Weston, and we also met and had late dinner with Weston and the other guys from his meta, saying goodbye to John. John, was, this is his last hurrah, but they rented a minivan, drove down from San Francisco, and played, and Weston was the only listener in the crew before the show, but now I think the other guys, and we certainly hope the other guys are listening. And Nate, they're really close to you, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
So you think you're going to play with them?
Yeah, we'll get in touch.
Yeah, cool. We met Josh. I don't know if you remember him from, he was one of the first pack winners from last summer. We met him, he showed up, we didn't know we were talking to him, and then he's like, yeah, I'm one of the first pack winners. And then I was like, what? You're right here in Los Angeles. So I'm hoping we get together and play. Also, Mike Morin. Mike Morin is a guy I've ran into at Emerald Knights an awful lot. And so we will, he lives right by my house. So we'll end up getting together. We played with a guy who was playing a Sliver Overlord deck. His name is Mikey. I just want to apologize. Mikey, Zergo killed him.
Don't apologize. He was using, you know, slivers.
Well, yeah, let me put it this way. There was a Narset player at the deck, Donovan, and Donovan won a playmat, actually, with an Assault Suit Narset deck. And we did not prioritize Narset over the Sliver Overlord.
Oh.
Because we looked at it. We're like, well, we have six turns before Narset goes off, but that Sliver Overlord already has a bunch of stuff out.
Is Overlord the tutoring sliver or the... Indestructible Sliver.
Tutoring.
It's the G one, yeah, right, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course he tutored for the Indestructible one because I board wiped a couple of times and he was like, no more of that. So then we forced sacrifices. Yeah, so sorry about that, Mikey. Another apology goes to Darlene, a listener. She showed up. She was getting ready to play us, having a blast, and then I was playing Paper Karametra and that sort of went off. And everything slowed down. While I resolved triggers.
Triggered.
And half of those triggers were shuffle, like fetch a land shuffle triggers. So it was horrendous. I actually think I'm going to.
Non-land.
Oh, did you have abundance out?
I had abundance out. It was glorious. And horrible.
So, yeah, just be responsible with it, Phil. Like, if it's triggers you don't have to resolve there and then, just stack them up and say, do you mind if I do all these when I pass my turn? No one will care.
They were interrupted by draw triggers.
Oh, fuck.
My apologies, Darlene, and everybody else who had to sit through that. And our the last, chronologically, too, I think. No, AE was the last chronologically to win a playmat, but... He really wanted to win this playmat, and he finally managed to pull it out in our last game of the convention, of the GP. We gave a playmat to Drew Gutierrez of @DrewDude88 fame on Twitter. Andy, myself, Josh, Jimmy, and a couple of other guys, Andy Belford and so forth, went to MTG Deals, and Drew was there. Met us, played with us, has a vicious deck, and so... We played his Horde of Notions deck, and the Horde carried the day. so many more people to mention, stories to talk about, and probably we'll get to it. Nate, I just sort of rambled on a bit. I mean, do you have any particular memories you want to share?
I didn't win any games, but I did kill Phil several times.
Yes, you did. Yeah, you made sure that if you weren't going to win, I wasn't going to win either. It was... It's funny. So Nate and I sit down across from each other and we're playing with other people, right? And a couple of times we sat next to each other and we had to break that up because we did a couple of games, you know, in the same order. So broke it up a little bit. But we look at each other and it's like, and we just sort of silently go, "You're the biggest threat at the table." and just go at it. And of course, I had to make sure everybody was aware of Rakdos Riots and how dangerous it was because of that deck.
No, what?
Was, oh, Rakdos Riots is insane. Are you kidding? And you know that. So Sean, he brought the Rakdos Riots on the second day. And Nate, if you may see pictures of Nate wearing a demon's shirt.
Yes, I've seen that, yeah.
And the third day, he, quote unquote, simply wore a Hate Bears shirt. So. Nate has a new appreciation for oysters.
Yeah, I tried to... one of the most ridiculous plays was I cast Sabo's Decree naming oysters. I don't know if that's ever happened in any games ever, but now it has. And it got countered.
Yeah, it got countered. But you got a swan out of the deal.
Yep.
So the oyster was so precious, the person felt the need to counter it. Wow.
Oh, yeah. That oyster was putting in some work. A.E. Marling had it in his Briny Deep deck, the one he talked about on our show, yeah. Right? And the giant oyster came out. And at first we were sort of like, haha, like giant oyster, isn't that cute? And then he grabbed Yelava. Who was booted at the time, so he used the Arcane Lighthouse to make her on Hexproof, and then grabbed it with the oyster, and that tapped Yelava down, and Nate had some big cannons lined up to go. And basically, when I was playing Karametra again, I didn't learn my lesson, but I figured, you know, let's try it because it takes the longest to set up. So he was, for some reason... I don't know why. I have no idea why. Because, you know, it's just Karametra. She's a farmer, a god of farmers. He said, "Nope, you have to be stopped." And started picking on me. And so what he would do is he would release Yelava whenever Nate could be used against me. And he would do that. And then he would tap Yelava down again with the oyster. And he had an Abushan. I don't know if anybody's listened to the Commander's Brew episode recently with Alistair. Alistair Forbes, but he had an Abushan out, and it was brutal, Sean. Absolutely brutal. I'm kind of looking forward. I'm going to download it because he put it on tapped out, so I'll download it, and I'll see if I can take it for a spin. But AE was murderous with that thing. Couldn't be talked out of actions.
I would love to play him. He sounds like, listener Pete. He can never be talked out of actions. I'd love to play him. All right, I need to come to the States, don't I?
Yes, you do. You really do.
Yeah, soon.
And AE is up in San Francisco, so if there's any way that we can get you to come to the States, maybe we should make the party over at Nate's house this time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've already been trapped and just escaped from one horrendous dungeon at Nick's house. So why not visit another one, you know? Speaking of listeners, actually, I need to give a little personal thank you, which would have been very rude of me not to put out, which was to... listener Gerald Steer, who was so kind that he shipped me a free tablet when I was in my hour of need. That although I'm not recording on that tablet now, it did allow me to get my actual life in order and sort out all sorts of financial things. I had access to no computer. Where I work is a secure NHS computer, so I can't just do personal stuff on it. And without him, I probably wouldn't be recording right now because I wouldn't have the ability to acquire the tech to do it. So you, sir, are a legend, and I'm going to sort out you getting a playmat if we've got any left, Phil.
We do. We happen to have them.
Yeah, I'll send you the box, and I've got his address. But, yeah, we'll...
So just to be clear, this is a retroactive contest where all of the listeners who sent Sean a tablet are eligible to win a signed playmat, a playmat signed by, actually, Mr. Plorg and myself. And, again, he'll maybe Gerald will ship you the playmat to sign.
He can. I'll send it a personalized message on it. It'll say something like, "You, sir... are not a
and actually, Gerald, if you're listening, I know you're Dark Paw H on Twitter. If you do want to make that arrangement, then let me know and we'll work something out where maybe I ship it directly to Sean and you pay for the shipping and we'll figure all that
yeah,
out.
Yeah, I can pay for the shipping back is the least I could do.
Yeah. And so congratulations, Gerald, on your playmat win.
He's playing the game.
And listeners who didn't send Sean a tablet now aren't you sorry.
If any of you want to retroactively send me free technology, I can give you my postal address after the show.
Yeah, that won't change the winner in this particular contest. But
yeah, my TV at home is only a 52-inch plasma. I'd really like a 3D one. It would help me record a lot.
Yeah, and you'll need a PlayStation 4 to watch 3D films
yep,
on it.
Yep, and there's only a certain amount of Ariana Grande videos I can watch before I go blind, so I'll need a Braille pad as well.
excellent.
Anyway, sorry, but thank you, Gerald, from the bottom of my heart. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Gerald. It was wonderful, and it really did accelerate his return to the show, so thank you. Okay, more news. We'll try to rip through this a little bit faster and just get to the meaty bits. So, holy announcements this week, huh? We had, actually last week, we had Kaladesh and Aether Revolt announced, and that looks like that's a return to Chandra's home plane, and they also announced Commander 2016, which is a four-color Commander set. Does any of this excite you guys?
Yes.
Thopter Queen?
Oh, I hope so.
I'm really hoping, because Is It kind of colored cards has been a hint at sort of being a thing in Kaladesh. I'm hoping we're going to have an enemy color pairing theme. That's pure speculation. There's no evidence to that, but I'd like that because I can get some more Orzhov cards.
I was just going to say, you just want more Orzhov cards.
And can I suggest that rather than Aether Revolt, we call that set Aether Revolt in tribute to Mr. Marlin?
That sounds great.
Aether Revolt, that could be... what did I say when I first read this? Oh, artifact-based set. That's never gone bad for Magic before.
Well, hopefully they have learned how to control their baser impulses. And we'll do a little bit less with Affinity and a little bit less with Metalcraft, maybe. But I bet Metalcraft comes back.
And they're officially getting rid of the AE combined symbol.
AE Third Revolt.
Yeah, and that was of particularly good news to community aggregators, rather. People who use the APIs to reach into the Wizards, gather a database, and pull them out. The AE has been, the linked AE has been a problem for years. I would say decades even at this point. We know that, now I lost the card name.
Aether Vial?
No, not Aether Vial. It was such a problem in the early printing process that this card that I can no longer remember did not get printed.
Oh, wow.
Like the AE didn't get printed.
Wow, that is bad. So they are retroactively fixing Gatherer to put all the AE combines to A space E. I understand. At least that's what Marrow mentioned on his Drive to Work podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're separate letters. So yeah. Isn't that right, Mr. Rosewater?
Oh, that's it. Wrathy Berserker. I don't know if you remember it.
Wrathy Berserker, yeah.
Yeah, it was actually supposed to be A-Wrathy. A-E-Wrathy Berserker. from the Legend set, but the AE didn't print.
Oh dear!
Because it was they were using digital layout at the time, and the AE didn't exist as a character in their font, and so it just got printed as Wrathy Berserker.
Talk about Kaladesh and AE Theravolt. I like sets that have a strong cultural identity. Like, I liked Theros because of its sort of Greek stuff. And this is going to have a Indian influence on it, which I think is going to be very cool.
Yes. It will be absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. The preview art looks gorgeous already, so I'm excited about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sahili, I don't remember her last name, but that's a Planeswalker who's the face card for this, so... So Electrotal is Indian, and he and I had a really good discussion, and we'll talk about that, I think, on another show. But he was very happy to finally see Indian people represented in Magic. Of course, Chandra Nalar has been represented in Magic for quite some time, and she's Indian with red hair and freckles and green eyes.
Yeah, they can retcon that, though.
Yeah, and they will. I think the justification has been, well, she's half Indian, so we'll see. I mean, you know, kudos to Wizards for even trying, right?
Yeah.
And other news, holy smokes, Eternal Master spoilers, we're 2 days in. Do any of these cards excite you guys? Like, I saw Mana Crypt, and I'm like, yes! And we called it, by the way.
Yeah, I was looking for a Toxic Deluge.
Yeah, yeah, you were recently.
I need another one for the other three I've got, so I've got the playset. I'm really looking forward to Maze of Ith coming in.
Yeah.
I'm a little disappointed to see Balance be reprinted, because it's banned as hell in our format.
As it should
God,
be.
God, yeah, right. more Necropotences.
Always better.
Yeah, allows me to brew more black.
These are mythic,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, that's mythic. Maze Vith isn't. Maze Vith is a rare.
Yeah, but Necropotence being mythic is just means that Potence is going to stay up around $12, $15.
Yeah, it's not a hard card to get. It's an expensive card, but it's not a hard card to get hold of. It's not like Mana Crypt, right, where you just don't see them.
Right. One of the things I'm still having trouble understanding, frankly, and maybe somebody from the MTG Finance community or even someone from Wizards can comment on this, with a set that has so many rich cards like this in it, and these are cards that are, some of them are, you know, fan favorites, I understand that we want to keep the print runs of reprint sets somewhat low, but this one is more restricted even than the Modern Masters, the first Modern Masters print run. Why isn't this being printed at the same level as Modern Masters 2015?
Yeah, so I had a rant about this on our Facebook groups for Patreon, our deck testing group. And people, I was like, oh, guys, don't get too excited about this, because if you are lucky enough to A, have the spare cash to get a box, and then B, be able to find a box that's not being sold at a massively inflated price, then the chance of you getting the cards you want out of it, the specific commander cards that you're missing, are pretty slim. What I would do, unless you really love opening boosters, is just take the money you were going to spend on the box and buy the individual cards you want. Like, the crypts are going for $70 pre-order. And it just seems redundant of Wizards to do this. Like, if they printed this at normal box levels, well, let's say they did it the same as Modern Masters 2015, it wouldn't affect the prices. There are guys out there who are buying up, well, and gals, who are buying up boxes and boxes and entire stores' allotments of this set and hoarding it. So the prices are going to stay up on the cards that are in it anyway. It seems redundant to say we want to give the community these cards and then not give them them. Like, teasing us.
Right.
Well,
they definitely want people to buy boosters. I mean, we know that. The problem is we're already seeing gouging. My local game store, and I'm quite disappointed in my local game store, by the way. The most local one would not pre-order it. He's getting like 18 boxes, he thinks, or three cases. Would not pre-order it, would not set a price, and said he's going to charge the most he can. And then he said, oh, the most I can fairly charge. Like, really? Okay.
So my LGS, the excellent Patriot Games in Leeds, he had an interests list early on, genuine people only, so people that actually had the spare 230 quid or whatever it's going to cost. And he said, if you're on here, when it became clear that it was going to be a much more limited run than people expected and stocks were going to be low, he said, if you're on here, he will honor it at MSRP.
Wow.
Because he's not a
yeah.
And
that'll be bleeped.
He's really, he's not a device for sharing. Okay, fine. Because he's a decent man. And he understands the value of keeping his customers happy and returning to his store over annoying people and turning people away from his store to make a quick buck.
Mm-hmm. Well, ordinarily, this store, and I'm not naming this store, but I've tweeted about it before. Ordinarily, the store does a pretty good job in terms of selling product at fairly low cost. So, you know, I kind of get it, you know. It's an opportunity for them to make a lot of bucks quickly, and so there it is. But at the same time, it's not very supportive of the community, and it's definitely what I would consider to be gouging.
Yeah. So if that store annoys you by doing this, and you take your business elsewhere, and you start promoting other stores and telling people, oh, don't go there, they price gouge me this time, they'll do this. Is that worth him making a bit of extra money straight on? Or is the goodwill by him saying, right, I'm going to sell this at maybe slightly above MSRP, and you can pre-order it if you're a regular customer, maybe set if you're a loyalty scheme, if you have spent X amount of us or spend X amount of us, you can pre-order a box. Would that not be better in his long run, his business model? Or is his business model based around just cashing in?
I think his business model is based on having a lot of Yu-Gi-Oh! Players come in to play Yu-Gi-Oh! And to buy his, what I would ordinarily consider to be vast overstock of Ultra Pro sleeves.
If he's got Yu-Gi-Oh! Players, where has he got a big space outside for people to park their motorcycles?
Most of his Yu-Gi-Oh! Patrons are not old enough to drive a motorized vehicle. So, but he does have a good bike rack.
I was under the impression you had to ride a motorcycle to play that game.
No.
If you don't know what that is, listeners, just Google card games on motorcycles for a laugh.
Yeah, there's some pictures of people using the Yu-Gi-Oh! Palette, right? There was like a Yu-Gi-Oh! Card holder.
Dual disc deckerizer.
Yeah, that's it. The dual disc. That's funny. And there are pictures of people using them on motorcycles. So it's kind of funny. All right. So, and we want to, before we move on to our what we've been playing or playtesting, we are happy to say thank you to the patrons who contributed to the most busted bracket. We had a couple of people from the deck testing group, and Nate and I, Sean, you were still MIA at the time. But the patrons largely assembled the bracket for us by voting on different busted commanders, and then we seeded them based on their vote totals. It was crazy. There's a lot of controversy about Xur, but maybe he'll make it next time. And of course, if you disagreed with any of the seeds, please join the Patreon community. It's just a buck to have a vote, and you'll be able to vote the next time. You also get access to material that we just don't share with everybody because we're worried about the North Koreans getting a hold of this technology. Very, very bad things could happen.
Hang on. What if the North Koreans become patrons?
Oh, in that case, they are welcome. And we may have to say that they have to join at the $10 or above level, though, in order to, you know, have access to this incredible technology that we use. And, of course, you can find us at patreon.com/commanderandmtg. Bam! 1 year coming right up. So, as we all know and can agree, if you weren't at GPLA, you weren't really playing Commander at all.
Excuse me, I've been playing a lot of Commander.
Were you at GPLA? We missed you.
Well, I'm not allowed to say now.
No, that's one of the forbidden words. It's been a while for you, Sean, but we actually don't swear on this show. It's not the Brainstorm Brewery.
I swear.
It absolutely is.
Maybe in your country. Children are encouraged to say that in my country.
Well, I'll tell you what. When the UK increases its listener base by at least 10 times, then we'll start using UK standards.
It's amazing because if I use a proper UK swear word that's only in these islands, you never bleep it. So I can say this card is the d-. He's on to me. I shouldn't have told him my evil plan. No, I was not a GPLA.
Don't Sean.
Oh, God.
It's just cultural differences.
Oh, you.
When your muscles twitch involuntarily, what are those called?
It's called, hang on, I've got it written here, a you are a I wasn't at GPLA, you bunch of. And do you know what I was doing while you were at GPLA?
Crying in your tea?
I was having my tea made for me by a beautiful woman and playing cards on Cockatrice with some friends. And then getting messages from a certain Mr. P. DeLuca, drunk out of his skull, going,
"What?
I can't get Nate up yet."
Oh, to be fair, by that point I was no longer drunk.
Just mildly buzzy. Actually, that's true. You were driving when you called me. So it's bad enough using your mobile in your car, let alone pissed out of your face.
No, I quit at 5 shots. And I went to I staggered up to bed at 1:45 a.m.
5 shots is driving drunk, yeah.
Yeah, because after all, I had a 9 a.m. call time the next day, so.
So, deck-wise, I have been brewing... I wanted to try something new, test my boundaries of what I do as a Magic player. So I have been brewing and playtesting exclusively with Vela the Nightclad. So, yeah.
All right.
A commander I've played with before unsuccessfully and in blue and black.
Wow.
So really.
You are really
pushing
stretching
my limits. But it's always annoyed me that I couldn't get her to work. And I think I've cracked it now, and I've gone semi-ninja tribal. Yeah, so lots of flickering things in. I'm a little annoyed at myself, because I'm really struggling to let go of my right of replication. And listeners that don't know, if you hit Vela with a right of replication, you deal every other player at the table 30 damage.
Mm-hmm. Might have mentioned that before.
Once or twice.
Yeah, I have back in the past. But and I'm really struggling to cut it from the deck because it's too good. And I think I might have a problem. But yeah, so that's what I've been testing. Yeah. And Aelia, I've been refining Aelia Eternal Pilgrim. And that is becoming a serious death machine now.
Yeah, because it wasn't a serious death machine before the refinement.
Oh, if you compared the list that Bruce Richard put on his article about my deck compared to it now and see the evolutions, it's still pretty much the same deck, but just ramped up to 11. It's gone from being a 75% deck to probably about a 90, I think. And I'm kind of proud of it. Sorry, Jason Alt. But it's my go-to if I need to teach someone a lesson deck now. Nate.
Wow.
Hmm?
Well, it's terrible to miss an opportunity like this. So we actually heard from Bruce Richard, as he points out. We should play 05 right now, out of sequence.
Hi, this is Bruce Richard with my favorite commander moment. It was actually quite recently, just during the latest PAX East. I was in a game with Adam Staborski and Jimmy Wong, and Jimmy's friend Josh. Jimmy and Josh came without any commander decks, so Adam and I provided each of them with a deck. So my favorite commander moment was watching Josh use my Nissa deck to just go off. It was a treat. I had yet to see anyone, including myself, ever actually manage to make the deck go off the way he did. The Great Aurora exploded with, there must have been at least 30 permanents on his side of the table. It was awesome. It was great. It was wonderful to see my deck work that way. for somebody who had almost no familiarity with the deck, it was great. So that's my special moment, my favorite moment in Commander so far. I want to congratulate the guys at Commander for one full year. It's been a treat listening to you the whole time. Thanks.
Aw, thanks, Bruce.
Yeah, thanks, Bruce. That's really nice.
Thanks, Bruce.
And he's talking about Jimmy and Josh Kim. So Jimmy Wong went to PAX East. Josh Kim went to PAX East. Josh Kim, I believe, works at Riot. And it's strange, though, that they didn't have any Commander decks. That's a little weird.
Maybe he was going to draft. It happens sometimes. You know, he likes his draft, doesn't he, Jimmy?
Yeah, he does. He does. And he drafted a lot this weekend, too. Okay. Well, what a year it's been, huh, guys?
It's been a strange one and a great one. And yeah, I love our community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And this show, pretty much, like I said before, you know, Mason mentioned asking for our guests to contribute. And so we did. And I really want to say thank you, Mason, for your wonderful, beautiful brain. That was straight out of the patron chat, so he'll get it. And the rest of you who don't understand that well, maybe you should be part of the patron chat. So, sorry, that was kind of goofy. Again, we asked for their favorite moments, either playing Commander or listening and guesting on Commander. And so what are your favorite moments, guys?
For me, it was getting to meet and talk to Ethan Fleischer for the first time. I was sad I wasn't there for a second guest appearance on the show. Talking to someone who's been so ingrained in designing Magic and then specifically designing Commander cards was wonderful. But what really surprised me, bearing in mind he's, you know, one of the faces of the corporation, to sound all tough, he was so warm and candid and open about the whole process of designing cards and talking about mistakes he'd made and cards he'd loved doing. And you'd never expect that from any time I've ever had to deal with anyone that works for a company and you're dealing in a media way. They're always really closed, and he was the exact opposite, and I just loved talking to him.
Yeah, he was an excellent guest. I really enjoyed speaking with him. And we did miss you the second time. He definitely was curious about you and was very, let's say, hopeful that everything was working out fine for you, or would work out fine for you.
Oh, thanks, Ethan. That's so kind.
Yeah. And, you know, again, we had this order a little bit differently, but now's a great time to play the one from Ethan.
This is Ethan Fleischer, senior game designer at Wizards of the Coast. I was the lead designer of Commander 2014 and the upcoming Commander 2016, and some other Magic sets, you know. As you know, as longtime listeners know, we have a very strict policy against violating the color pie. That affects what abilities can go in what color cards. And violation of the color pie is severely punished by chopping off a finger. So this happens to me every once in a while. I've taken some hits over the years, Song of the Dryads being one of them. And when I am there in the office with Mark Rosewater, and my hand is in the clamp, as we call it, and he's raising that butcher's cleaver with a sadistic gleam in his eye, what really goes through my mind at that moment is, I really wish I was listening to the Commander in podcast instead of this.
Right there is why that was my favorite moment of the first year. I forgot about Mark Rosewater's finger necklace.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Ethan. That's wonderful. You've made us all laugh again, yet again.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was my favorite moment of the year. Hey, Nate, what was your favorite moment of the year?
My favorite moments are when I'm playing Commander and I get to kill Phil. And with this podcast, Jesus, it's helping to grow a new community to help me kill Phil. Now, while the rule may be kill Sean first, and that is true, you know, maybe Phil will help with that, so you can keep him around for a while, but just help me kill Phil.
Anyone who has played, tested, or played with either of us knows that you are the bigger threat, Nate. Your decks are more solid, you make better decisions, you certainly make fewer mistakes than I do. You have to agree with all of them.
No. No. Me stupid. Me play bad.
I would normally say that I don't make mistakes, but I remembered not playing land that time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, my favorite moment of the year actually is at the very beginning of the year. Maybe even predates it, when we had our first conversation together, the three of us, and we were planning this very show, not this 1 year show, but the Commander and podcast, and how we would do it, and we voted on a name and all of that, and just that I was so nervous when I got you guys on. I'm kind of feeling it again, right? Just hearkening back to that. And it was wonderful. I'm so glad that we all decided to do this, because we have a wonderful chemistry. Nate has a voice unlike any other in podcasting. Thank you again. It's just worked out really well, and I'm happier now than some of our listeners know that I was in a previous podcast, and that one was, shall we say, it was difficult to record that one, and this one, so wonderful. You guys are the best co-hosts I could ever hope for. Thank you.
Oh, Phil, I'm genuinely a little bit moved by that. Stiff bottom upper lip wobbling.
Yeah, you're about to be very non-British.
I'm gonna think of the Queen and choke these emotions back. They're very bad for me.
Yes. Well, at the very beginning of our show, we went to, some of us at least, went to GP Las Vegas. And I bet, Sean, if you had known you were going to be on a now world-famous, internationally renowned podcast, you probably would have gone to GP Las Vegas. But there, Nate and I ran into this gentleman.
Hi, Commander, and how are y'all doing? This is Andre Treiber, or Like a Fox, with two L's and two X's on Twitter. I'm really happy to see y'all make it to 1 year and get the chance to celebrate this milestone, and I guess, since I was there from the beginning, I literally have no other choice but to take some credit as well. Last time we talked, I was busy running five-color mill abominations, and now I've gone a bit of a different direction with completely colorless Kozilek, the Great Distortion. I really enjoy how much y'all interact with the community, and you bring on such great guests, and I can't believe I'm going to say this because it will go straight to his head, but I particularly enjoyed the two-parter episodes y'all have done with Jason E. Ault. Anyways, here's to many more episodes to come, and may we meet again at the next GP Vegas Command Zone party.
Indeed.
Thanks, Andre. Andrew.
Yeah. Yeah. Andre, and we met him at GP Las Vegas at the Command Zone party. Then we gave him a lift back to his hotel, where we talked about such things as the proper way to store bodies in your trunk while you were driving, and how not to attract attention from the police, because if they discover the bodies in your trunk, it just gets very, very sticky. And Andre, good luck with your career as a political consultant. Which is actually what he does and probably therefore knows about body.
Phil, I know it's Andre, but it hurts an English person when we say French words, so I had to anglicize it.
Yeah, yeah. How would you say it?
Andrew.
You would just say Andrew.
Yeah.
Right. You just willy-nilly add a letter now and again, don't you?
Don't you. Don't you. Or sometimes we drop them, like the word water. No tea in that water.
Right.
Anyway.
There's no tea in water, but there is water in tea.
My mind is blown! So, he was a big fan of Jason E. All.
Yes.
Hey, what's up, Commander and hosts, patrons and listeners? It's me, Jason Ault here. I'm taking a little bit of a break from my busy schedule of trying to teach the EDH community how to finance and the finance community how to EDH. I just wanted to shout out one of the best podcasts around, Commanderin. You guys have made it a year. That's a very important milestone. You join an elite group of podcasts that bothered to keep recording for an entire year. That's a process that weeds out more casts than you'd think. Now, I was asked to talk about my favorite moments from the show, and we could talk about, you know, the Wheel of Planeswalker abilities or basically anything that happened on any of the two, or is it four times? You decide. Times I've been on the show. But really, I think if I had to pick one moment that was my favorite, I would definitely pick the time that you didn't talk about Hearthstone. I think not talking about Hearthstone is one of my favorite things about a Magic the Gathering podcast. Guys, keep up the good work. It's been really great listening for this last year. I hope there are many more years to come. And hey, I'll always make time for you guys if you wanted to have me back. Congratulations on 1 year.
But apparently we do sometimes talk about Yu-Gi-Oh!
Talk games on motorcycles.
That's a good point, Nate. Maybe we should ban Yu-Gi-Oh! Instead of Hearthstone.
No, as well as.
Yeah, both.
Sorry, I know we have a couple of people who actually helped develop Hearthstone listening. This is all in good fun. We actually love it as a game. It's just one of the ways we're being funny. Or is it?
Meh. Roll number six.
Roll number six.
I'm A.E. Marling, writer of Magic flavor text, Magic articles, and fantasy novels. I'm also a level 20 flavor judge. This is a short commander story I'm going to share with you. I brutalized everyone at the table with my Xenagod deck, so the next game, when the Chaos player cast Boldwear Heavyweights, allowing every player to search the library for any creature they wished, two of my opponents searched for Iona, naming green and red, to completely ice me out of the game. Or so they thought. I'd searched for Mordant Dragon. When he deals combat damage to a player, he does the same damage to their creature. Xenagod inspired him to blaze in as a 10-10, killing the anti-red Iona. Then I cast Savage Beating in the post-combat damage step, which gave me another attack phase. I attacked again to roast the second Iona. In appreciation for the brutal comeback, the Chaos player gave me the heavyweights with Bizarre Trader. I encourage everyone to write down their own favorite Commander stories, win or lose. That's really the best thing you can get from playing Commander, epic stories. Oh, and follow me on Twitter at A.E. Marling.
That's pretty sneaky, isn't it?
We like him so much, we don't mind the shameless self-promotion.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He is absolutely worthy of that promotion. Nate and Chris have been reading his books. I haven't had the time yet, but I have a couple of the books already. Nate, you actually won a book, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I won Dark Lord's Wedding by correctly identifying all of the evil villain quotes of some chapter titles on his blog.
Awesome.
Nice.
Awesome. So if you haven't already, go over to A.E. Marling's website, his blog, search for him on Amazon as well, and buy a couple of his books. They're really good reads. They're a lot of fun.
Actually, not being around to talk to A.E. Marling was probably my commander in low point of the year. I missed that.
Yeah. Yeah. And Bruce Richard as well.
I'll catch up with him.
Yeah, he will.
Yeah.
So these guys are truly the first friends of the show. They invited me on for a couple of minutes to talk about our new podcast when we started it and have supported us consistently ever since. They're wonderful guys for not just for doing that, but just in general. They're really big-hearted people who care about the community and have fun bringing you content every week, sometimes twice a week.
How's it going, guys?
How's it?
It's Jimmy.
It's Josh.
And congrats on 1 full year of Commanderin.
Woohoo! Congratulations, you guys.
I'm actually sad we weren't on more episodes.
Yeah. We need to be on at least one a year, so I better get on my second one here soon.
Yeah, me too. Looking forward to the invite. Thank you.
Until then, peace!
Later.
Maybe next time we get Josh on, I won't argue with him so much.
Yeah, maybe not. He needs a year to cool down after that, I think. Sorry. No, that was all in good fun. Yeah. And we look forward to having them back on. In case anyone listening to this happens to be associated with the Command Zone or fans of them, then understand we have an open door with them. They're welcome anytime they want. And we will otherwise pick wonderful topics. Like Josh is very clearly the political, like a political master. So when we do our politics episode, we'll have him on. And Jimmy, of course, loves red. So I think given the spoiling of World Gorger Dragon, maybe we'll have him on after Eternal Masters. They actually have, and we will have heard it by the time this drops, they have 2 spoilers this time around. Congratulations, guys.
Yeah, well,
and since this is the future, those were awesome spoilers. There you go.
Well done, Phil.
Yeah, thank you. I'm here all week. One of our newer patrons is this gentleman. So now we're rolling 7.
Heyo, here's Sandra from Switzerland. First of all, congratulate for 1 year of Commandering.
Yay!
I found the podcast by googling Commander Podcast. My favorite moment in the last year was, of course, the rise of our beloved Lord and Savior, the Frog God of Gitrog. The best moment I can remember from a Commander game was us trying to resolve 36 spells from under Pixies of Pandemonium. After about 20 minutes, we just gave up and considered the game a draw. And now I present you the Pluxcaster Frogling.
Sandro, thank you. Thank you.
Bravo, sir.
That slew me. I have to confess, I never really thought about what the Plaxcaster Frogling sounded like.
Now you know.
And now we know. That's perfect. Way to go, Sandro. Thank you very much for your support and listening. Make sure you reach out to us once in a while, too.
Yeah, we like do. Talking to you. Which part of the world are you in, Sandro?
Well, he's from Switzerland.
Uh-huh.
That's what he said.
His English is way better than my Swiss, but I will try and sign off the show in Swiss one day.
Swiss.
Just for you, sir.
Yeah, obviously, Sandro, Sean is taking the piss. So, all right. So, another guy who did a voice of a certain frog that we appreciate greatly. He sent us some well wishes, too. So now we roll 09.
Hello, Commanderin. This is Dean Goody. Congratulations on your 1 year anniversary. Playtesting with you guys has been an absolute blast. Last night I was playing with Nathan and Johnny Crass from the playtesting group, and we had my Yasova Dragonclaw deck versus Johnny's Vela the Nightclad Shadowborn Apostles versus Nathan's Krufix deck, and I was able to keep on stealing and cloning Consecrated Sphinx to draw a million cards, drop a bunch of creatures and control the board, and get everybody down to single-digit life. And then Johnny was able to get out his Laboratory Maniac, and on his turn, Nathan cast Prosperity, drawing everyone like 67 cards, which gave Johnny the win just to keep me out of it for beating them down so hard. It was a great game, super hilarious. I'm so glad you guys put the group together. I've been having a lot of fun, and I'm really looking forward to another year of playtesting and podcasting. Congratulations again, guys.
Aw, thanks, Dean.
Yeah, thanks, Dean. It's been a real pleasure playtesting with you. And, of course, it was in the playtest game where we were playing his Shadowborn Apostles deck, his Athreos Shadowborn Apostles deck. He went infinite. But we liked it so much, we kind of showed, Nate and I shoved aside the show plans for that week and made it all about Shadowborn Apostles, that being one of the topics that we always have on the burner because we, you know, especially Nate, knows so much about it, we can just pull it out if we need to.
Do you know, if he'd retold that story but hadn't mentioned Nate's name, I would have still known it was Nate.
Well, it actually wasn't our Nate, was it? It was another playtester named Nathan.
Oh, what?
Nate Freeman.
Is there a conspiracy of people called Nate who are just mean Magic players?
Yep.
Are you like Sean's? Do you have a telepathic network?
We have secret meetings. Well, I guess they're not secret now. No, never mind. Nothing. What's that over there? Clip 10.
Congratulations, Commander-in, on your one-year anniversary. My name is James Ray, and I've been an avid listener since November 2015. First heard about you guys from the Command Zone, and the first episode I listened to was number 10, Big Mana. I have since listened to every single episode and all the bonus songs, and you guys put out some real quality content, and I appreciate that. You've been a great inspiration in my deck building. My favorite memory is the fact that I've just joined the playtesting group, and the first game I played with Nate, he decided to single me out, kill everybody else, and then deal with me, slowly, oh so slowly. And that has been my experience with Nate so far. I love you guys, from the snarky Brit that is Sean, the quiet but dangerous Nate, and the ever optimistic about the downfall of Phyrexia Phil. I can't wait for another year from you guys, and I will keep listening. Keep on keeping on.
Snarky, dangerous, and optimistic should be our boy band name.
Yeah, I am optimistic about the downfall of Phyrexia. I have no doubt that when the Phyrexians invade Innistrad with the coming of a tainted Emrakul, that the Gatewatch will repulse them.
The Gatewatch will join Phyrexia. Oh, Phyrexian Jace, go on, Magic, I dare you.
Challenge accepted. That'd be great.
Yeah. Jace of Phyrexia.
Yeah, hey, a Phyrexian planeswalker, exactly.
Yeah, Jace gets completed.
Yeah, we'll have to see. That story ended with a cliffhanger, a bit of a cliffhanger. Yeah, we'll see what happens after that. Or did it already happen? It did already happen, that's right.
Do you know what will happen before that? Clip 11. Smooth segues as always.
That was not abrupt. It flowed seamlessly with the conversation.
Hi, Phil, Nate, and Sean. Remember when you read my question in an almost perfect Australian accent?
Jesse Durant, who also follows us on Twitter. Hi, Jesse. Oh, man, maybe I should adopt an Australian accent for this one. What do you think? I am a super casual player, playing only Commander and the odd pre-release, and I had to admit I was a bit salty about having this game finish in under 20 minutes. Crikey.
Well, I wanted to congratulate you on your first year in my other Australian accent. Bloody well done on a shrimp on the barbie 1 year of bloody top-notch episodes. You blokes are A-okay in my books, and from down under, I can't wait to hear another bloomin' year. Struth. Kangaroo.
Jesse, thank you for being such a good sport about that. That was brilliant. I heard that one and could not stop laughing.
Just need to catch my breath, sorry.
Struth, kangaroo.
Oh, yeah. Yep. No, mate.
Yep. He and his, what's the word? Mates. Wiz Fizzit and a couple of other folks.
Good people.
Will hopefully get a kick out of that one. And thank you once again for the well wishes. It's beautiful. Our next one comes from one of our patrons. And in fact, I think by a few seconds beat everybody out as first $10 level patron. So roll 12.
Greetings, hosts of the Commander and Podcast. This is Bradford wishing you guys another year of awesome podcasting. May your influence spread throughout the EDH community like the glorious Phyrexian oil spreads through the multiverse for our father of machines. Whoa, sorry about that. Anyway, many well wishes to you, Phil, Nate, and Sean. Looking forward to another great year.
I've always liked Bradford.
Yeah.
What a guy.
These, all of these are obviously, you know, wonderful. I love them. And when I hear the folks like, you know, Bradford, Jesse, and kind of modulating their own submissions, it's wonderful. That's great.
Hang on. After hearing that specific clip, Phil, do you not hate Bradford now and wish him removed from all of Magic?
It's hard, but let's just say that his goodwill was counteracted by the statements he made there. He did say later on in the in the patron chat that he sort of blanked out right in the middle of recording that, and he's not sure what he said. We hear from another of our patrons in this next clip, 13.
Happy 1 year anniversary, Commander and crew. I want to say thank you to Nate, Sean, and Phil for the time that you guys spend to put into this show. I think it really shows your love for Commander and for Magic as a whole when you take time out of your busy lives, and it really shows through in the product that you guys put out. I'm super happy to be a part of what I consider to be one of the best communities in Magic the Gathering. And though I wasn't around for much of year one, I made it in time for year two, and I look forward to a whole nother year of Commander.
Oh,
and that's Hunter Pruitt, yeah.
Yeah, thanks, Hunter. He's the guy who winter orbed me last night, so you've made the list.
But we told that story to Weston and the folks around the table there about how when you suffer targeted land destruction, you put that person on the list. And then I made sure to build a deck that essentially was nothing but targeted land destruction, just so that you could feel that joy again and again and again.
The list is basically 12 pages of just kill Phil. All work and no play makes me kill Phil.
Excellent.
Utter yes. Sorry.
What is it with you and Nate? Why do you gotta kill me?
Trigger.
Yeah, that's trigger. Valid. I am going to disassemble that.
Just learn to play it faster.
It can't, in paper especially, it can't be played faster. You have to fetch a land, and then you have to shuffle, and then draw. And
oh.
That's the way it goes.
It's even longer on Cockatrice, Phil. Don't think for a second it's fast online.
Oh, no, it is much faster online. And so that should give you an idea of the scale of the dirtling that that deck does.
Yeah, shuffle online, you just push a button and it shuffled.
Be afraid if you ever play that deck with me in face-to-face, Phil, though, because I can't reach through the internet and choke you, but across a table.
Oh, I think what I've got to do is for paper, I've got to streamline it, so we'll see.
The police reports come in. We found this man, a bearded man in his 40s. He appears to have a card stuffed in his larynx. It says, Karametra, god of choking to death, you dirtling
Subject had a Karametra, god of dirtling, lodged in his larynx.
We don't know how this could happen.
So you early on, Sean, established a pan-European alliance with this gentleman, who also is a friend of the show.
He is.
And patron.
He is.
Mm-hmm. Go Robin.
Hello, guys. Robin Koss here, sending a message to all of you from merry old Sweden. I just wanted to take a moment and sincerely thank you all for your hundreds of hours of content, all the games we've played together, and all the other good times. However, my own favorite personal memory from the lot of you guys has to be when Mr. Sean Watson and I started our Pan-European Alliance, and he sent me this copy of Grafted Wargear, and I instantly added it to my Widwin deck, and she's used it since then to smash many opponents in our local paper meta. Anyway, as I said, thank you all so much for everything. I look forward to another year of solid Commander.
I would like to apologize to the people in Robin's paper meta for supplying him with that card, because he's used it to beat the crap out of me as well.
Robin is the one who started staring people in the eye as he defeats them. He'd look them directly in the eyes and be like, this is what it's like when you come from a country that has a history of rampant imperialism.
He'd look at you with his ice white hair and jet blue eyes, crystal blue eyes.
Crystal blue eyes.
You'd feel your soul chill as you knew you were in the presence of a Norse god. And can I tell you two, that message we just heard from Robin there, that is the most passionate a Swedish man has ever been.
He actually has a friend who is also a follower of ours on Twitter, and he expresses himself considerably. I think he might actually be a reincarnation of Thor, drunk.
Seriously, though, I mean, I love all our Patreon people, but Robin has become a genuine friend of mine outside of the realm of magic, and we only live sort of 500 miles apart from each other, so we do post each other things quite often, if anything, this podcast has made me a friend. Oh, isn't that nice?
Ah,
we will crush you all. Crush them. And Robin will appreciate this. Screw Norway. Yes.
No, I have nothing against Norway. I don't know how Nate feels.
Yeah, they're cool.
Hey, Commanderin. David Dorn here, sending out my congratulations to you for your 100th episode. Thank y'all for taking the time out of your days and lives to bring us this amazing resource, which has allowed me, at least, to enhance my game, the way I think about building my deck, and the way I interact with the other people in my local community. Where I live, the Magic community isn't very large, and it's hard to get a lot of Commander games together. Every Monday, I go up to my store and play, and every Monday, I have new interactions and ideas to play around with that come from you guys. And it's amazing to me, because without this resource that you provide, I wouldn't have had that. And even though this is just a game and a hobby, to me, that's important. So thank you, Sean, Nate, and Phil, for giving us
so welcome. Commander.
Genuinely touched by that. Thank you, David.
I wonder if he looks people in the eye as he kills them in magic.
And looks them in the eye, and as they get crushed with their really super casual deck, he says, Nate Burgess taught me this.
Yay.
It probably happens. Happens far more often than we think.
Thank you, David. That's very, very kind words. And that sort of stuff is the reason we kind of do this. That and stupid jokes.
Yeah. Mostly the stupid. No. Thank you, David. It's been a pleasure having you in the meeting you in the patron group. And of course, now you've joined the playtest group. So, yay. Okay. So this next one, listeners, Sean, you may want to find a box of tissues.
Oh, right, okay. Am I going to cry? All right, okay. Well, I'm already welling up.
Stiff upper lip.
Pip, pip, oh, boy.
Pretend you're at sea. Making hundreds of widows with each cannon shot.
Shelling the Germans.
Hey, guys. My name is Jackie, and I'm a patron of the podcast. I just want to say thank you for all of the time and the energy that you guys have put into the podcast. It means so much more than you will ever really understand. I know I'm not unique for my love of this podcast or the game or the format, and I'm not even really unique for why it means so much to me. But I suffer from depression, as a lot of people do, and you guys have really helped to foster a supportive and accepting community that helps people in a lot of ways that you might not even understand. And I found somewhere that I feel like I really belong. And I've helped establish a Commander FNM and a league at two different LGSs in the past year. And if it wasn't for guys like you doing this every day for no real reward, I honestly couldn't tell you where I'd be right now. So thank you for everything that you guys have done.
Oh my god, that's the most touching thing I've ever heard. Wow, Jackie, those words are some of the kindest words I've ever had directed anything I've ever done. That genuinely moved me.
Yeah. It's really, it caught me by surprise. And thank you, Jackie, because that, you know, when you say we do this for no real reward, you're wrong, because that is the reward. We hear from folks like you, and we genuinely love interacting with our listeners, and we make friends, and that's what this is about.
Really touching. Also, you have an awesome accent.
Doesn't she?
Yeah. I love that accent.
We should talk later on. And because I think we may be hearing from Miss Miller one more time at least. So Jackie, thank you. Thank you very much.
What do you say? I'm so happy that we can inspire you and give you energy, I guess. As you know, I work with people who've suffered all types of mental health problems, but depression's a nasty thing. And if we can help you one little bit, or anyone, if we can make them smile by making some stupid joke, or make them feel more accepted in a playgroup because of some magic thing they've done, or just help them get through a part of the day, then that is more than, I don't know, I
She's
could
rendered
ever ask
Nate
for.
Speechless. And so this next clip is by a couple of guys who will help us change the mood as we get close to the end of the show here.
Our North American annex.
Yes. Yes.
Hey, everybody. I'm Andy.
And I'm Sean.
And we are the Commander's Brew. Happy 4-gumball anniversary, Commanderin.
1 gumball equals 3 months. Congrats, guys.
Yeah, who knew that was the exchange rate? That's awesome. Yeah, the Commander's Brew with Sean and Andy they're just fantastic. It's a great podcast. Their end of the show interview is absolutely spectacular. Nate, Mike Morin, and I, as I drove Mike Morin home after GPLA, we listened to that with Alistair Forbes and just laughed our asses off. That was it was fantastic.
Yeah, Phil, I forgot to mention you got to meet a Praetor, didn't you?
Had a little chat with that spiny, weird metal faced, no eyed creep.
I died laughing when I heard that bit at the end of the episode. Just picture you looking uncomfortable having a counseling session.
That's exactly it. I don't know, at the beginning of the interview they're like, oh, we want to welcome Phil, and I'm like, yeah, and it's because I had folded my arms and was kind of looking away from the microphone. I was totally like, already I was uncomfortable, as if I were really there. I mean, I was really there.
Like the way it evolved, because I know the way those guys work, they don't script it, they get a rough idea, and the way it evolved, it's almost like they're both highly skilled improv comedians.
Yeah, almost.
And genuinely masterful. Yeah,
tough. I genuinely got intimidated. And when we were running through that, and just kind of, they were sketching out the way it would work, I was like, oh God, how am I going to do this? I'm just going to let them down. And then sure enough, I did.
Oh no, you didn't. You were the perfect straight guy. Oh, it was brilliant. I love their show. Their show is the best resource for finding cards you wouldn't ever dream of using, trying them out, and then going, holy crap, what have I never used this card before?
And all of those cards are, by definition, they're guaranteed to be under $5. And so they're inexpensive. Most of their cards, really, under 50 cents. Just awesome. So thank you, Commander's Brew guys. Thank you, Andy and Sean. You guys are friends of the show, and we really appreciate what you're doing for the Commander community. And look forward to your one-year anniversary, which is coming up in only a few weeks. So good luck. Now, so this last one we are really tickled that he made the time to get back to us. No amount of introduction would do this man justice, so let's just roll 19.
Hi, I'm Sheldon Menery. My favorite memory from the first year of the podcast is the time that I was a guest and we recorded a great session, but something went wrong on the technical end. We re-recorded the session a few days later, but Phil forgot the most important thing right off the top, to discuss what we were drinking during the show. First time, I was sipping on some 15-year-old Pappy Van Winkle. Since it was 11 a.m. or so when we did the re-recording, I was having coffee. Delicious Stumptown Coffee Roasters French Roast, part of a healthy morning routine. So to me, Commanderin will always be about the booze I could have been having. I'm Sheldon Menery, and for the most part, I approve this podcast.
For the most part, I want to know which parts he doesn't approve. The puns, probably. Always the
yeah.
puns.
Yeah.
The British parts.
Thanks. Sheldon, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Sheldon. It's wonderful having you on the show, and we do expect, we've already actually extended the invitation, and now it's a matter of choosing the right moment, perhaps sometime in July. A little foreshadowing, maybe a little hint or teaser there. We actually, like, the next year, just the first 3 months, for those of us who aren't aware of how we do things, we sort of sketch out like how we're going to do it. And I haven't put this entirely in the spreadsheet and I haven't suggested an order yet. And so Nate, you're in the planning spreadsheet a lot more frequently than any of the rest of us. But the next 3 months, we have some fantastic shows coming up. And if the rest of the year is anything like it, it's going to be a great second year of Commanderin. So any last thoughts before we get to the message of the week, gentlemen?
I think it's important to say, because nobody said it so far, modern.
Oh, quick little aside about GPLA.
Uh-huh.
So I started brewing a Zada-based deck, because if I'm going to play modern, and I thought I was going to play at least one of the games of the tournament, I'm going to have some fun doing it. I'm not going to fall in line with, you know, all of the rest of the standard formulaic modern decks. And Johnny Crass was going to send me an entire modern deck. And he's got this four-color deck that's just, it wins a lot of games locally. And he wasn't able to do it in time. So in the last night, I brewed this awesome, right? It wouldn't have done anything. Zada deck. And just couldn't find in the last day a couple of the key cards, including Distortion Strike. I needed four of those. So I ended up not having a deck to play. And that was the day that I was tweeting, well, Nate's not quite awake yet. So I showed up half an hour late, and the judges helped me. I just dropped my previous opponent, whoever that was, in the first round. Congratulations, because you got two wins off of me for not showing. Anyway, Nate, any particular retrospective you wanna throw out there?
Meh.
But that was a very moving meh. I mean, I could feel the emotional build up.
And the award goes to
meh.
I had so many people come up to me or even write email, as they've been doing over the last few weeks, saying like, we really miss Sean. And a silver lining is that Nate's been talking a lot more.
Oh.
Yeah. Someone had to fill in the space between my incoherent rambling.
I had particularly bad verbal diarrhea today because I've been off mic for so long, I think.
No, it hasn't been bad. But Nate, in year two, let's bring more of the Nate demon out.
Okay.
Remember, Nate. Nate. Nate rhymes with hate.
It rhymes with a lot of things.
Cogitate.
Master Kate.
So it is almost the end of the show, and ordinarily we would put some hateful card that Nate has discovered that works anti-Phil or whatever strategy Phil is promoting.
Yeah, it does.
Even if it's not the topic of the show and I just mention it, Nate will find a card and throw out some brutal, or should we say brutiful, card that ruins whatever it is I'm trying to do. So our message of the week is anyone in Los Angeles, San Francisco, or Manchester, and he games in Leeds, Sean does, should write to us so we can meet your paper meta or create an all new one. I think it's high time we did that, and now all we have to do is find the time to do it, actually. So we'll have to make room in our busy schedules. I think I've found some room. I've just cut non-essential activities out recently, so. All right. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. If you want to support the podcast for all the good things we put in your ears, head on over to patreon.com/commanderandmtg or give us a 5-star review on iTunes. We love our listeners and are incredibly grateful to all the patrons, exactly like Robin Koss, Hunter Pruitt, and Bradford Heron. There are many others, Jackie, David, people who were on this podcast, and people who haven't been yet. And we really are grateful for the support you're giving us. Actually not possible without your support. So everybody else, come play test, and if you donate $10 or more per episode, people are doing that. They love us that much. Thank you. That's kind of mind-boggling. Come join the patron chat we host over on Facebook. And we also have a deck playtesting group on Facebook, too. Our theme song was created for the podcast by Silent Nate Burgess. Our logo was created for the podcast by Mr. Picto, who can be found at mrpicto.co.uk with assistance from Kelly. Also, Kelly can now be found at tinyshinysquid.com. Special thanks go to our tech whizzes, Jesse Thompson and Graham Frank, and to Justin for his server space. Thank you, Justin. We are also likely to be adding a new tech whiz, but we'll talk about that in a future episode. You can reach us by going to our website, commanderinmtg.com. Our email address is cast@commanderinmtg.com. And you can find us on all the social medias, but especially Facebook and Twitter. By searching for Commander and MTG Podcast. We're also on YouTube. Go there, comment, rate, and subscribe. Please do that. By the way, Wedge at the Mana Source did a video on how YouTube videos and YouTube popularity works, and really, it helps to go in there, leave a comment, give us a thumbs up, and of course, subscribe to the channel, which hopefully all of you are doing by now, so I'm asking you to tell your friends. How about that? So individually, on Twitter, I'm at Ketjak, K-E-T-J-A-K.
I am at Copain26, C-O-P-A-I-N-2-6.
And I'm at Mr. Plorg, M-I-S-T-E-R-P-L-O-R-G.
See, he's a quiet one. But when he speaks, it's always funny or insightful, or sometimes it's hurtful and it makes me cry inside.
Comedy gold.
Well, for the first time in like 3 months, can you say it, Sean?
And that's our show. My old man's a dustman and he wears a dustman's hat. He's got poor blimey trousers and he lives in the castle flat. Oi!
Commanderin!
Oi! English people do technology. Da 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 da.